I'm Alan Combs. As Glenn Greenwald points out at his new perch at Salon.com, Frank Gaffney, who is also our guest here along with Glenn Greenwald, one of the country's most influential and well-connected neoconservatives, has a column in the Washington Times in which he argues that the debate taking place in Congress over the war in Iraq constitutes treason, says Glenn Greenwald. Gaffney, he points out, specifically argues that the condemnations of Douglas Feith for Senator Levin, who you refer to in your column, I guess it's Rockefeller who's Ishmael, and Levin, who I think you referred to as, Ahab?
Well, the Wall Street Journal.
Well, you quote the Opinion Journal on having done that. You quote Lincoln, which it turned out to be Lincoln did not say, congressmen who willfully take actions during wartime that damage morale, undermine the military, or saboteurs and should be arrested, exiled, or hanged, but you still say you like the quote. Then you say it's time to reflect on what constitutes inappropriate behavior in time of war. But when actually asked about it here tonight, you're backing off this idea that you're really talking about wanting to hang people. So it sounds to me that you're not standing up to the courage of your true convictions that this is not appropriate at the time of war, and that Lincoln, or at least what you thought Lincoln said, which he didn't say, though would have been a right quote, why are you backing off that? Why don't you say you're right, Levin should be hanged, it's wrong, it's terrible, it's treasonous?
Well, let me say this one more time, lest it have escaped your audience as well as you. I'm talking about behavior, not debate, but behavior that I believe is contributing to two things. One, the impedance of people who have the responsibilities of guiding our national security from challenging intelligence assessments and analyses that are now widely regarded to have been wrong on a number of different counts. I think that's a very pernicious step and one that would have grave consequences over time.
Help me understand this.
To the extent that we're going to cite Lincoln, it happens that shortly before Gettysburg, in a public letter, Abraham Lincoln wrote the following. He was talking at some length about the irony of having to punish a soldier who deserts and leave untouched people who are agitating and encouraging him, basically, to abandon his post. And he said, quote, "I think that in such a case, to silence the agitator and save the boy is not only constitutional, but withal a great mercy." Now, the truth of the matter is, in time of war, we have, as this great president put it in a direct quote, and I apologize for the inadvertent misquoting, but it was unintentional, and it certainly was not the conspiracy that Glenn is suggesting. This great president recognized that those who would weaken the country, who would deliberately undermine the military, should be subjected to silencing.
Hold on a second. Let me just do a couple of follow-ups. You've got to give me a chance here to get in and ask some follow-ups here. Is Carl Levin purposely undermining the military?
I believe that Carl Levin, as an example, is taking a position.
That was a yes or no question.
Intelligence. It isn't a yes.
Is
or no
he
question.
Undermining the military?
I'm telling you that with respect to what it is that Carl Levin is doing, it is undermining the military.
All right. So Carl Levin is undermining the military. All right.
It is not his debate.
All right. It's a very simple question. Do you believe?
It's a complex answer.
No, it's not complex. You're making a very strong accusation. You're basically saying.
I'm making a strong accusation, but I want to be.
You're doing a little tap dancing, Frank. You're tap dancing.
No,
you're saying that
what I'm doing is I'm trying to be clear.
No, you're not being clear. But you're not being clear. What you're doing is very dangerous. You're throwing around phrases like undermine the military and then silencing someone who does that. Then you're throwing in the name Carl Levin, but you're not really connecting the dots very clearly. So I think what you're doing is prevaricating and you're wiggling.
Alan, if I could. To the extent I get a chance to clarify it, I will continue to try to clarify it for you.
Right, that would please do, and then we'll give Glenn a chance to respond.
This is not a tap dance. I'm simply making the very clear distinction, which I think is made throughout the piece that has aroused Glenn and you so much.
It didn't arouse me, but go ahead.
Well, apparently it has. It is not the debate, though I think debate can have consequences and that people should be held accountable for those consequences. It is what worries me profoundly is that we will leave the country even more reliant upon defective, inadequate intelligence by making it impossible for people to critique that intelligence, which is precisely what Carl Levin...
All right, let me give Glenn a chance to respond, Glenn.
There's a very good reason why Mr. Gaffney is afraid to say what it is that he wrote in that piece and why he's backing off. And when you ask him direct questions, he just starts rambling with empty phrases. It's because he is part of a very fringe and radical group that has been rejected by American citizens. And the more Americans hear from him and the ideas for more war and for more aggression, the more and more they reject him. And so he's part of a political movement that has lost the debate in this country. His president, who has implemented his war policies, has approval ratings that are historically low, close to Richard Nixon when he was forced in disgrace out of office. And so people who are losing a debate and have lost a debate and who are exposed as having led this country into war based on false pretenses, one of the worst things that has ever happened in our country's history, of course they want to shut down debate. Of course they want to say...
Who's doing the silencing here?
That people who disagree with them or who criticize them or who expose them are traitors. The real people who are waging war against our country and against the values are Mr. Gaffney and the people like him who say that dissent is unpatriotic or that we should engage in more war
hold it.
9/11 that they wanted well before 9/11.
I've got to take a break. We're going to come right back. We'll open up our phones as well for Glenn Greenwald. Our people who speak out, who question our intelligence capability, who question the war, who make statements that are provocative in a time of war, the people who, what is the level of responsibility they have? Is it treasonous? Should we actually bring in words like hanging? Frank Gaffney is with us. His commentary appears in the Washington Times. He is a regular contributor. He's also president of the Center for Security Policy and was in the Reagan administration in the Defense Department. Glenn Greenwald, now at Solon.com. He's a former New York City litigator. Our number, 877-4-ALLEN, 367-2526. Jeff, Evansville, Indiana. Hi.
Hi, Al.
Hi.
Here's the scenario. I'm an insurgent in Iraq, and I know that every time I can kill an American troop, that I can get senators and representatives in the American government to sit there and want to pull out more. So that keeps me with lots of people who I can rally around me and say, hey, look, if we just keep this up, we'll win this war. Politically.
So what are you saying, Jeff? Are you saying that Americans should not speak out, senators should not speak out, we shouldn't criticize a war policy?
Had we have done this in World War II, you'd be speaking German now and you'd probably be in...
Well, I keep hearing that over and over again. I keep hearing that. What about those analogies, Glenn, to World War II that we keep hearing? What about the substance of Jeff's remarks here?
Yeah, the German army was the most powerful army on the face of the earth and had invaded multiple countries throughout Western Europe. And Japan had attacked us at Pearl Harbor. Iraq neither attacked us nor had anything remotely capable of threatening even its neighbors, let alone invading the United States. That's the problem is Mr. Gaffney and his friends have engaged in fear-mongering. Saddam Hussein is going to detonate nuclear weapons in our cities to put people in fear to justify their wars and their abridgments of liberty. People are realizing now that those analogies are absurd and that's all it is fear-mongering, and that's why Americans have turned against them.
Alan, that's not what we're speaking of at all.
Alan?
Go ahead.
Look, I think Jeff's absolutely right. That's the kind of accountability that I'm saying I think people ought to be held to. If they, in fact, want to criticize this, it's their right. It can have consequences. But just because Glenn keeps making this point, I think it is actually important to introduce one important fact.
All right, let me thank Jeff for the call. Go ahead.
One important fact. The Iraq Survey Group, not to be confused with the Iraq Study Group, the Iraq Survey Group, the guys who went in and did a forensic analysis of what was the status of Saddam Hussein's weapons of mass destruction program, found, contrary to what Jeff keeps saying, Glenn keeps saying, that there was a hot production line for chemical and biological agents in Iraq, that there were plans to ramp it up when sanctions were lifted, which was imminent, and to place the products of those lines into aerosol cans and perfume sprayers for shipment to the United States and Europe. That's documented fact.
Why isn't the administration making that argument?
I don't know why they're not, but I'm telling you that's a fact. And where,
well, you're saying it,
when you ask, why were people like me concerned about ensuring that Saddam Hussein was not allowed to continue and to build upon relationships he did have with al-Qaeda and with people like al-Qaeda?
Why
it was imperative that he be removed from power? That's a precise example.
Well, the administration itself has not made that argument. And tell me why
justified.
Why did the Pentagon itself just come out with a report pointing a finger at your associate, Douglas Feith, who you praised in your Washington Times column, saying that he ignored certain intelligence and used only the intelligence that benefited the already ideologically held view of this administration.
I don't think it said that. Here's what it said. It said that what Doug Feith and his policy organization did was perfectly lawful. It did not mislead the Congress or anybody else, and it was authorized by his superiors. As a sop, I believe, to Carl Levin, it said that it concluded, in a very subjective way, it concluded that what it did, what the policy organization was doing was inappropriate. But most people, looking at what the policy organization was doing then and what it has always done, would consider that to be an entirely legitimate function. And that's what my beef is with Carl Levin, is to the extent that he would say that people who hold these policy jobs are not allowed to challenge, not to selectively quote, but to point out places where the intelligence community itself is selectively quoting, is ignoring evidence, is choosing not to bring evidence forward.
But isn't that exactly what the administration did? The administration cherry-picked intelligence, ignored what it did, what didn't fit its agenda, and is very guilty of the kind of thing we want to pin on Carl Levin. That's what the administration did in the run-up to the war with Iraq.
I don't agree with that. I think what the administration did...
And that's what the Pentagon study said.
...take the intelligence analysis provided by the U.S. intelligence community. What it also did, thanks to the work of people like Doug Feith, was try to find whether that was actually an accurate assessment.
All right, let's give Glenn Greenwald.
And on the basis of all this information,
let's give Glenn a chance to respond.
Frank Gaffney and his comrades at his organization and Douglas Feith, these are people who wanted a war in Iraq since 1998 at least. And when September 11th happened, every single thing they said to justify the war turned out to be completely false. What Saddam Hussein had in terms of weapons, the relationship that he had with Al-Qaeda, they tricked Americans into believing that Iraq was personally involved, that Saddam Hussein was personally involved in the
Yeah, Frank, I just had to take you off the air because you just, you know, Frank, you just violated an FCC rule. Are you aware of that?
I did not realize that. And
you know that you're on the radio and you can't use four-letter words, Frank?
Forgive me. I apologize for doing that. It was uncharacteristic of me. I found what he was saying so outrageous. And in fact, in contradiction of what I just pointed out.
Hold on. Let him finish his response. Let him finish his response. Hold on. Everybody get a chance to talk here. Like, let him finish his response and let's try to watch the language.
I will try.
And Americans relied in good faith on what this government and Mr. Gaffney's group told them and supported the war. Democrats, Republicans, all the people he's accusing of being traitors now, like Carl Levin, supported this war based on these claims, all of which have turned out to be completely false.
That's
and he
not
continues
correct.
To do it with fake Abraham Lincoln quotes, continuing to insist what everyone knows is false, namely that Saddam had WMDs. These people have become completely discredited, and Americans are tuning them out, and they should.
All right, let's give Frank a chance to react.
To war based on false pretenses, you have no right to be listened to any longer.
Well, Glenn, you're certainly making that case, and I admire the efforts you're making to make it impossible for people like me to be heard. I'm simply asking you to square what you just said with what I pointed out is the fact of what Saddam Hussein had, which was active production of chemical and biological weapons, albeit at low levels, with the plans to ramp them up for use as terrorist weapons against the United States and Europe. That's not something I'm making up. That's not something that was misled, fraudulently presented to the American people. That's what we now know on the basis of the facts we discovered when we finally liberated
them. What about that, Glenn? Has he got a point?
That is just pure fiction. That's about as true as
fiction.
Abraham Lincoln quote that started off his column.
It is not
We sent weapons inspectors. The Bush administration handpicked the people to search Iraq, to scour it up and down. They issued a report, the Dalfa report and others, saying that there were no weapons of mass destruction, that there were no active programs pursuing those. That was all a fiction that was created by
Glenn,
the sources.
You don't know the facts. You're a stickler for the facts, and you don't know the facts.
The American people. Read the Dalfa report.
I did. I'm quoting to you from it.
Himself.
I'm citing the Dalfa report. It's at this very moment. And
the president himself admits there were no...
All right, hold on. Let Frank go ahead.
What it said is that they did not find large stockpiles of chemical weapons. What happened to them is a mystery they weren't able to explain. But what they did find, and what is in the Dulfer report, and what I'm citing, and what is fact, is that Saddam Hussein had weapons of mass destruction programs and plans to ramp them up and use them against us.
Wait.
You may choose to ignore that. You may choose to say that it is relevant.
It's interesting. They went from actually claiming, look, Cheney claimed, Rumsfeld claimed before the war, not that he had programs, but he actually had weapons of mass destruction. That was the claim. And then now you're saying, then the administration said they had weapons of mass destruction related programs. They really played with the language and added a few qualifiers, didn't they?
May I be clear about this? May I be clear about this?
Yes.
On the basis of the intelligence that was uniformly accepted by Democrats and Republicans, not George Bush's manufacturer, certainly not mine, there was evidence that Saddam Hussein had actual stockpiles of weapons of mass destruction. There's evidence that
they were wrong.
There was evidence that they were removed across the border into Syria. I don't know. But what is not in dispute, except from Glenn, who apparently chooses to ignore it, or at least won't come to grips with the fact that it validates my position and undermines his, is that the Dulfer report said he had production of these chemical and biological agents, and he planned to put them in weapons to ship to the United States. Now, that's the kind of thing that did require...
Glenn, did the Dulfer report say that or didn't?
Country.
Everyone knows the Dulfer report didn't say that. I feel like I'm debating with somebody who's arguing that the Earth is flat and just keeps insisting.
Would you like
George
to make a little
Bush,
wager?
George Bush,
would
in
you like to make a little wager
last, George Bush, in a press conference last year, when asked, did Saddam Hussein have weapons of mass destruction? Were your pre-war claims right or wrong? Said, no, we were wrong about that. Everyone knows that that this country was wrong in the claims that it made. And the reason we were wrong is because Frank Gaffney and Doug Feith paid Alma Chalabi and other Iraqi exiles to lie and say that there was...
I tell you what, I'm up against a break. Guys, I got to take a break here. We'll come right back. I want to get some...